Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Hello, everybody. I wish you could see me. I'm wearing my Rotary shirt, and the reason for that is about my guest. My guest is Albert Hernandez. He was just installed July the 1st as the district governor of Rotary 5280, which I also belong to, and he is the CEO of a nonprofit called Home Again LA. Welcome to the show, Albert.
Oh, thank you, Marcia. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate this.
Oh, I appreciate what you do, and I'm so happy that I'm able to share your passion with our listeners. So before we get really into what Rotary is and everything like that, I always think it's nice to know, who is this guest? So just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up, whatever you'd like to share with us that just gives us a little glimpse into you, my friend.
Yeah, you got it. So I actually grew up here in Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angeles native. I grew up specifically in Koreatown. Believe it or not, I'm actually number 5 of 11 brothers and sisters. There are 7 girls and 4 boys. It was a very large family. I know. When we grew up in a 3-bedroom apartment building in Koreatown, and, you know, it was hard to squeeze in all 11 kids in there. But my mom made it happen. You know, unfortunately, when I was about 14 years of age, my dad had passed away, and my mom went from working no jobs and being a stay-at-home mom to actually having to work 2 jobs just to help make ends meet and care for each and every one of us.
Wow.
So actually, when I was 14, I actually started working. I started working at a local nonprofit called the Boys and Girls Club of Hollywood.
Yep.
And I started working there after school, Monday through Friday, and during summer camp hours, I would work full time, and it was just my way of trying to support my mom, making sure that she had the finances to be able to pay rent and pay for groceries and utilities. So, you know, ever since 14 years of age, I've just always worked and I always wanted to give back and care for other people. So that was kind of my upbringing. And went to school in Belmont High School, which is in downtown Los Angeles.
Yep.
Eventually went to UCLA and graduated from there, and just always remained in the nonprofit sector throughout my career. I bounced around from the Boys and Girls Clubs to where I am today at Home Again Los Angeles.
Well, you know, that is an incredible story, from feeling like you were like responsible in so many ways, and it's so sad. I'm so sorry to hear that you lost your father at such a young age. But you went on and got a degree from a very prestigious college. I mean, this is a remarkable backstory. I think there's a book here. I think that there's probably, I'm serious about this. I think that I didn't know this about you, Albert, and it gives me goosebumps, to be perfectly honest with you, because what it tells me is it explains to me why you are this giving person and why you are in Rotary and why you started this nonprofit. This transition makes total sense. And many people know what Rotary is, but for those that don't, why don't we start off by talking about, it's not just a wheel. It's not something in the road. So why don't you tell people what Rotary is?
Yeah, Rotary is actually a service organization. There's a little over 1.4 million Rotarians, as we call them, 1.4 million Rotarians all across the world. Our goal is a few things. There's actually different objectives in Rotary. Some people join Rotary for the fellowship. Some people join Rotary for networking for their own profession. And then others join Rotary for community service.
Right.
I'll tell you, I tell all my friends, I say I joined at Rotary almost 20 years ago for community service, but what keeps me engaged is the friendships that I've made and continue to make in the organization. And Rotary is a global movement. There's many clubs all around the world. And what I love about it is the opportunity to give back, develop community service projects that benefit the communities that we're in. And as you know, we're here in the Los Angeles region, and there's so much need in this region. So I love being a Rotarian because as a member of the Rotary Club, we're able to collaborate with other nonprofits and develop projects that will respond to the needs of the community. And that's truly what Rotary is all about, is coming together as a Rotary family and supporting the community in whatever ways we can. The networking, the fellowship, at least in my mind, comes second to the service. But definitely those are the top three components of what Rotary is all about.
And I don't think most people would know this, but since I am also a fellow Rotarian, what's the connection to Rotary and polio?
Oh, yeah. So Rotary is the organization that really focused a few decades ago on trying to eradicate polio. Polio was such a big issue, a few decades ago, and polio committed to eradicating that disease because it brought so much hardship and pain to so many people all around the world. At least in the time that I've been a Rotarian, we've vaccinated quite a bit of children all around the world, and we continue to fight that, and that continues to be one of our main causes. And that's, I think we're pretty close to eradicating polio, and Rotarians all around the world should pat themselves on the back because it's because of their hard work, either vaccinating children in person or even donating monetary contributions towards the cause as well. So.
I just want to throw one other Rotary major project because Cosette Vergari, who lives in this community of Westchester with me and happens to also be my attorney, is very, very active in human trafficking. And that's another huge component. So when we talk about Rotary, yes, we have our social time together. We have our, and I mean, that means a lot. I mean, we do have that. Our meetings are social. But globally, some of the things that Rotary does is just incredible, right? And people wouldn't necessarily – you don't read about it in the L.A. Times. Human trafficking is another gigantic thing that Rotary is working in. Huge.
Yeah, and you know, so, you're making me think of a few things. You know, when you look at our Rotary district, which is – which is here in Los Angeles, because there's several districts all around the world. Our district is one of the leading districts because we have so many what we call cause-based clubs. And as you mentioned, past Governor Cosette, along with some other members, created a club focused on fighting human trafficking. But if you look at other clubs in our district, we also have other cause-based clubs that focus on mental health and wellness, environmental issues. And that is wonderful because we're creating clubs and we're bringing people together who have a passion for a certain cause. And so that's, if you look at all the districts in the world, I think our District 5280 has been on the forefront of really developing these cause-based clubs to respond to the needs of the community and really bringing people together for a certain passion that they have. And so, yes, fighting human trafficking is one, and environmental issues and mental health and wellness. We even have a LGBTQ club that's called RISE, Rotarians in Service for Equality. So definitely there's a little bit of everything for anybody who's looking for service.
Absolutely. So why did you join Rotary?
Well, I joined Rotary, it was 19 years ago. I was, believe it or not, I was 19 years of age. I joined Rotary because I worked at the Boys and Girls Club, and I wanted to get involved, and I wanted to meet other people in our community that that have been around for a little bit of time and can share the history of what our community has been doing to respond to the needs of the community. So I dived into it again at 19 years of age, which is probably one of the youngest members.
Yeah.
When you really look at the average age,
sure,
of a Rotarian. But I joined because I wanted to give back. And it goes back to, I think, my upbringing, you know, taking care of my family, taking care of my mother and my younger siblings. I just always have this thing about supporting and lifting people up. And so Rotary gave me that platform. And here I am, you know, throughout those 19 years, I've just been able to actually learn more than just service projects. I mean, if you look at my,
right,
my story, I've actually been able to build my leadership skills. I've learned how to lead a board meeting. I've learned a little bit of everything that has really helped me as a professional. So I really attribute a lot of my success in my own life because of Rotary.
I can see that. I can see that just by my own club that I've belonged to. So have you ever had, and I think we all do, have you ever had a Rotary moment where it's like, oh, my goodness?
Yeah, you know, I think I've had
several.
I think I've had a few of them. You're right.
Yeah,
I've had a few of them. But you know, every time somebody asks me that question, I always remember a project that we did years ago. We had developed a project named Shop with the Cop, and it was a project where our Rotary Club in Burbank. We collaborated with the Burbank Police Department. Rotary donated $2,500. And what we did was we matched a police officer with a child who was identified as part of a low-income family. And so there were 25 children and 25 police officers that were partnered up, and they went on a shopping spree. Each child got
$100. Oh, my gosh.
And they were able to go back to school shopping. They were able to purchase clothing for school. They were able to purchase school supplies, backpacks. But I think, yes, that was a wonderful project. But I think what stood out to me was one of the young children that had came had their own shopping list. And on their shopping list said, a new dress for mom. And it really struck me because it was something that was supposed to benefit the children, they themselves, in preparation for the first day of school. And that child had to be under, at least in grade school, I think fourth or fifth grade, he thought about buying something for his mother. I thought that was pretty powerful. And it just brought back, you know, it brought it back full circle. And it made me proud to be a Rotarian, you know. That was a great moment, and I'll never forget it. That was at least 14, 15 years ago.
You know, there are those moments. We do that. We helped our fire department. People don't realize that the firemen have to purchase everything when they stay at the station. They don't realize the city does not provide their paper towels or anything else like that. And we were actually able to provide them with a sauna because it was determined that a sauna is so important for your physical health for these firemen.
Yeah.
So it's very inspiring whether you're doing a service project like that or, as you said, helping shop with a cop. I mean, you're right. Mm-hmm. You'll never forget that, nor will that child.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how many times that child has repeated that story.
Yeah.
So with all of these experiences, this is a big deal. What inspired you to even interview to become the district governor?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I think when I interviewed, it was actually about 2.5 years ago. And I love how our district operates. You know, we're always thinking about continuity, succession planning, and 2.5 years ago when I interviewed, you know, I said to myself, wow, if I get this, I won't be governor till July 2024. And I think this was in 2021. And I appreciate that our district puts that much time into it because it does take some training to be district governor. But what really pushed me was is knowing that I can make a larger difference, a bigger difference on a larger scale. I've been so accustomed to supporting Burbank, where my home club is, and I felt like, wow, you know, there's so much that I can do on a larger scale throughout the LA County. How can I use my own story of growing up in a family of 11, a single parent household? How can I use my own story and inspire others to continue fighting and doing good for people who are in dire need? So I really put it into perspective, because when you look at my life, when you look at my current life right now, Marcia, I believe it or not, I'm 38 years old. I've got I've got my wife, and I've got an 11-year-old daughter right now.
Oh,
and
wow, wonderful.
And being a district governor, I mean, it's quite the undertaking. And I said, you know what? I made sure before I even interviewed that I asked my wife that I would have her support. And she said, you know, what does it entail? And I said, you know, it's a lot of speaking engagements, going to different clubs and visiting. And as long as I had her support and my daughter's support, you know, I said, let's give it a shot. You know, there's something that I have gone through. There's something that I've gone through in my life that I feel that I can share with Rotarians and hopefully lift them up and remind them why we're Rotarians and why we're giving back. So it was more of me wanting to inspire others through my own journey, and hopefully it is making a difference right now. It's only been a week that I've been in this position, but my hope is that within the next year that, you know, more people will be excited about serving, and I know I am. I love this organization so much. It's allowed me
That's
to do
wonderful.
So much and giving back. So I think interviewing to be governor was an easy decision for me, as long as I had the support from my family.
Absolutely. It's a one-year term, is that right?
It's a one-year term that you're governor. So, 51 more weeks.
If people are listening, I just want to let them know, they can actually just type in Rotary5280.org, and they can read about our clubs and our services and our foundation, because, you know, we do have a foundation. We are very much a service-oriented organization, so I do want people to know that. So you're a young man, and trust me, I know you know your daughter's watching you, and she's picking up from you these different aspects of your givingness, because that's just who you are. You're not being somebody that you're not. So I think that's really very cool.
You have no idea how I appreciate you saying that and reminding me about that. You know, as I continued my Rotary journey, my daughter Madison, she would always ask me on a Saturday morning if I was leaving early, or she saw me leaving early on a Saturday morning with my Rotary shirt. She was always curious, Dad, where are you going? What are you doing? And I'd say, you know, we're going to go read to some children, or we're going to go donate some books, or we're going to spend some quality time with some older adults at a senior center. Believe it or not, Marcia, she would say, Dad, can I come? And how many times I've taken her. She's gone with me so many times. And now if I'm home on a Saturday morning, she says, Dad, aren't you supposed to be volunteering somewhere? I said, well, honey, I'm going to take a little break today.
That's funny.
But she's always so excited about it. She loves it.
But it's so true. I mean, Midnight Mission, all these different places that we go to do things, it is really significant. So with your term, your one-year term that you're just into now, do you have a theme? Did you pick up a theme for your term?
I do. So, you know, Rotary International, every July 1st, the Rotary International president actually creates his or her own theme. So there's there's that theme. The Rotary International theme this year is the magic of Rotary. However, as district governor, you're able to adopt that one, or you can create your own based off of, you know, what your own district is looking to do, or what your goals are. And so actually I adopted my own theme as well this year here for our region in 5280. And that theme is teamwork makes the dream work. And it's something I've been trying to, you know, as soon as I became governor, or I was nominated to be governor, that was the motto that I wanted, working collaboratively. You know, so many people, so many organizations, even in the nonprofit world where I spent all my career, you know, I think sometimes there's organizations duplicating efforts. And if we would just work together as a team, we can make a bigger impact in the world. And so I really pushed that, and I adopted it, and I've been sharing it with our club presidents. And it's been something I've been pushing and will continue to push throughout the year, because, you know, there's over 60 clubs in our district. I just want to see us work together a little bit more. And working collaboratively, I think, will make a big difference, a positive difference in so many lives all throughout Los Angeles County. And I think it's appropriate for this year, and I'm excited about it. And it looks like the clubs have really adopted it and are running with that theme as well.
I love that. And I don't think there's anyone that's in the 5280, and you mentioned there are 60 clubs. We're not talking about a few people here that can't appreciate the significance of what you're saying there. And your collaboration is contagious. So as the district governor, I mean, obviously you have responsibilities. What are some of your goals that you hope to do this year?
Oh, boy, I've got maybe about four or five goals. And I think the first one is really growing Rotary. You know, every year I think the district governor comes in and wants to see an increase in membership, which is great. You know, and we should be attracting more people to join our Rotary clubs. I look at it as more Rotarians means more impact.
Mm-hmm.
Having more Rotarians means having more resources, whether it's hands-on support or monetary contributions, whatever the case is, we need more Rotarians so that we can continue changing the lives of those that are in need. So that's one of my goals, is really increasing the membership of our district. The second one is all about succession planning. And it's something that it means a lot to me. Let me put it to you this way. Succession planning means a lot to me because here you go. You've got an organization that every year you've got a new governor. You've got a new person with new ideas who's trying to push all these new goals that they've been wanting to implement at the beginning of their year. What I'd like to see is more continuity between the governors. And it's not so much just the governors. It's also on the club level, from president to president, because it works, the model's the same on the club level. I'd like to see us all, whoever's in the positions that they are now, whether it's president or governor, is to work closely with the following governor or president so that there is smooth transition and that the initiatives and programs that are adopted this year continue to be implemented for years and years to come. All that tells me is that Rotary is just going to make a bigger impact year after year after year. So really working with each other and building that continuity and lifting each other up as each new Rotarian takes on that governor or president role. The third one is family. Is trying to include family in Rotary events. And it goes back to me having an 11-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I truthfully believe, I really, really believe that if you expose your children or grandchildren to service now, that once they get into middle school and high school and college, it'll be something that's ingrained in them. It's something that's natural, that they want to create service projects, that they want to do a food drive for those people that are hungry, or a clothing drive for those that are cold and living on the streets. I want to create more family-oriented events so that it will naturally grow into our next generation of leaders that service is priority. Being a Rotarian is key. So I think those are my top three goals that I've been really focusing on. And then the fourth one is what we just talked about a few minutes ago, and that's collaboration. If you look at one of the ideas that we're pushing next year or this year, this new year, it's collaborating with each other, collaborating with clubs that are in your neighborhood. For example, I think we have several clubs that several communities where we have more than one club. You have a morning club, that's called a sunrise club. You've got a lunch club, that's called a noon club. And then
we have a morning club. Ours is a morning.
And then there's some communities that even have evening clubs, you know, that they call sunset clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there's communities with multiple clubs, and some of those clubs don't even know each other. You know, my goal is that they speak to each other, that they collaborate with one another, and really come together, because when we're working together, you know, we're stronger together. So those are really my four initiatives that I'm pushing this new Rotary year.
I love it. I love it. Let's spend some time now talking about what else you do, which is, I mean, you're just a giver. That's just who you are. You've been that person's, you know, you might have taken real responsibilities at 14, but my guess is that you were like that from the day you were born. So tell us about your organization, Home Again Los Angeles, or Home Again LA. I know you're the CEO of that. What is your mission? What is this organization all about?
Yeah, so Home Again Los Angeles, it's a nonprofit homeless service agency. We actually just celebrated 14 years of service this past week. And so our focus is really assisting families who are experiencing homelessness. We were created 14 years ago by a group of pastors in the region. And so these pastors came together around 2008, 2009 when there was a Great Recession. And we realized that in Los Angeles, the fastest growing segment of the homeless population were families with children. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Los Angeles County, there were not many shelters that were providing service to just families with children. Yes, we have shelters. There are shelters all around, you know, downtown Los Angeles. But imagine being a single mother or a single father with, you know, a child or two. You know, do you really want to move into a shelter that's on Skid Row? And, you know, it could be intimidating. It could be, you know, a little stressful. So we created this organization in partnership with local congregations. In 2010, when we opened our doors, they said, you can use our facility from 6 p.m. till 7 a.m. when we're not using it. You can use our facility for shelter for families with children. And I look back at that motto and I think, wow, what a great way to partner with a faith-based community than to utilize their facilities in the evening and early morning hours when no one is in there, than to house our families. So the Sunday school classrooms are converted to bedrooms for our families. The pastor's office is converted to a bedroom for a family. And so that's really how we were created and what our program is all about. It's a 90-day program to get families into shelter and then back into housing. So we provide them shelter, and then we also provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the goal is during the day to make sure that the children are attending school and living as much of a normal life as possible during this difficult time. Mm-hmm. And then our caseworkers work with the parents to help them secure employment. And then within 90 days, our goal is to get that family back into permanent housing. And Marcia, believe it or not, even though it's a 90-day program, as long as I've been around this organization, and that's 2015, we've been able to get families off the street, into our shelter, and then back into permanent housing within an average of 56 days.
Wow.
And I love that. I love, love that. I got to tell you, Home Again LA does not say, we're not all about numbers. I don't run around the community saying, well, we've served 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 families. I'm more about quality service, making sure that we're providing the quality service that these families deserve to get back into housing, and then making sure that they don't fall back into homelessness.
Yes.
So if we're able to get a family into an apartment, which is what we do, we get families back into housing, we still maintain relationships with that family because families need to learn how to be a good tenant. They need to be reminded how to pay their rent on time, how to be a good neighbor. They still need some skills, and we provide those skills to make sure that they don't fall back into homelessness, that we are seriously stopping and breaking that cycle of homelessness. And so that's what our organization was doing the first 8 years. And then the pandemic hit, you know, in 2020.
Sure.
And we actually expanded our programs. We actually went from a shelter to now implementing a eviction prevention program. If you look at the pandemic, I mean, there was 1, 2, 3 years where people were still thousands and thousands of dollars behind on rent because either they couldn't find employment, number one, or number two, their spouse, who was that second source of income, sadly passed away because of COVID. And mm-hmm. so what we were trying to do is we were trying to find funding on the government level, federal, state, county, and city, that we can use to provide as eviction prevention, meaning we're helping families pay their rent if they've fallen behind, and help. Our goal was to help them get caught up, but we're not just a handout. We're not just cutting checks to make sure the families are caught up on their rent. It's mm-hmm. a two-way street. I like to say that we're a hand up. These families who utilize those eviction prevention funds, there were requirements. They were to check in with us regularly on a weekly basis, showing us that they were creating an emergency savings account for themselves. They were showing us that they were either employed or maintaining their employment or possibly getting a promotion. Families had to put in some effort in the process as well. I always say, our organization is always about working alongside families and not doing the work for them, because once we've provided our services, you know, Home Again LA is not there. We're not going to be able to walk alongside you, you know, for the rest of your life. We've got to give you those tools and resources so that you can be independent and self-sufficient, you know, in the future. So it's a wonderful organization. We've been, again, like I said, we've been around 14 years. Last fiscal year, we actually assisted 699 families.
Wow.
Of that 699, 234 were families that were unhoused, either living in their cars, living on the street, or living in motels. Those 234, we were able to get them back into housing. And then the balance of that number are families that we were able to prevent from losing their apartments through our financial assistance and our job counseling program. So, I mean, our reach is pretty far, and the work that we do, it's so powerful. And every time I get the opportunity to talk about Home Again Los Angeles, I thank my staff, those caseworkers, the housing navigators. It's their commitment to providing quality care that really is what's making a difference here each and every day, and I'm just so thankful for them.
I bet. I know that basically your services are in the Burbank, Glendale, and San Fernando Valley area. Is that basically where you're serving the communities?
Yeah, so we have offices in those three communities, Glendale, Burbank, San Fernando. However, any family in the Los Angeles County that is in need of support, they can contact us at our
really good to know.
Yep, they can contact us and via phone, email, and we can provide services. So we've had families come to us from from Hollywood, downtown Los Angeles. We've had some families from the West Side.
Sure.
As long as we have the resources and the bandwidth and the staffing to do this, we'll be there. We won't turn our backs on anyone.
I want people to know, as they're listening, you have an outstanding website as well, and it's homeaginla.org, and the people can see what it is you're doing there. What is the impact that you are making in the region?
Oh boy, I mean, we try to track our successes based on various metrics. I mean, a number of families that were able to transition from homelessness back into permanent housing. We track annual household income. I mean, we'll get families that come to us that have absolutely no income. We'll help them sign up for general relief, which is a county program, but we focus really on getting families back to work. I always call us a mini boot camp. So we track the growth of the annual household income. We track the number of children that are homeless and that we're able to get back into housing. We've got great partners in the region. The Boys and Girls Club is a great partner who will waive the admission fees for our families. Anyone that's in our shelter, the Boys and Girls Club will allow them to have a free after-school program and summer camp program. I mean, the impact that we're making is astronomical. There's so many pieces of the process that we're really just, you know, it looks like we're just housing families, but when you really dive into it deeper, we're talking about employment, we're talking about finances. We're talking about mental health and wellness. We're talking about children and making sure that they feel that their self-esteem is still on a high level and that they're encouraged, that they feel loved. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. You know, whenever I see a family walk into Home Again LA, I mean, you can see it on their faces, Marcia. They're exhausted. They've gone through so much turmoil, whether it's maybe a domestic violence situation, or you know, they've lost their job. I mean, people are coming in so much pain, and it's our job. It's our job as caseworkers and administrative staff to try as hard as possible to lift them up and make them feel valued and that the community is here to support them and cheering them on. And you know, no matter if you look down the tunnel and you don't see a light, well, just know sometimes that tunnel curves and you will eventually see the light as long as you're working side by side with Home Again LA. So the impact is just, it's amazing. And we're so thankful to be able to have this opportunity to give back.
Are you mainly only working with families? So if there's a kid mm-hmm. that's left New York and he's on the streets, do you help mm-hmm. homeless young people as well, or is it basically, I realize that you can only help so many.
Right.
Do you basically only work with families?
What I love, it's probably going to take me a second to answer this question because, you know, what I love about our services is that sometimes there's organizations that focus primarily on families with children. There's some shelters mm-hmm. that focus on older adults. There's some organizations that focus strictly on domestic violence victims. I would say about 90% of our clients are families with children.
Okay.
The other 10%, we have dabbled we're testing new programs. We do have programs for individuals. We've had programs for older adults, but I would mm-hmm. say 90% of our services are really focusing on families with children.
Got it. Do you work closely with the schools and the communities as well? Because do they sometimes? That's what I would think. As somebody that was involved in PTA and all of that stuff, you know, these teachers can recognize if there's some kind of a crisis. So, these schools know about you guys, the better that is, which I'm sure that helps. But I think I may know this, but I am curious. What got you interested in working in the nonprofit sector?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think I just stumbled in it, right? I was offered an mm-hmm. opportunity. There was a job opportunity at my local Boys and Girls Club. And I, you know, at the Boys and Girls Club where I worked at 14 years of age, I realized that a lot of the families were on scholarships. A lot of families were single parent led households, and their income was low income, extremely low income. And I realized that there was a big difference that I was making in their lives. You know, that these families mm-hmm. had little to nothing. And when I realized that, I said, you know what, this is the demographic that I want to work with. And the nonprofit sector is what has allowed me to do it. I'll tell you, for 1 year, I worked at a for-profit organization. It was a child development center, and mm-hmm. that's actually where I met my wife 15 years ago. But it was an organization that really it wasn't a nonprofit. It wasn't focused on the disadvantaged. And I didn't feel like I was making a difference there. And so I actually left that year. I almost think that I found that organization just so that I can meet the love of my life and still be with her 15 years later. But I mean, the nonprofit sector has just been something that I know I look at it and it focuses on a specific demographic. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I realize I'm making a difference each and every day. So I stood with it now 19 years. So I think this is the sector I want to continue my career in.
Yeah. Did you have one of those moments where you just realized that you wanted to become a nonprofit professional? It's like the light just shined on you and you went, whoa, this is it. Did you have one of those moments?
I did. You know, it wasn't until I got here to Home Again LA where I was able to sit in that CEO position. Prior to this, I had always been program manager, mm-hmm. or, you know, helping the staff and providing training and operations. And now I know when I got here to Home Again LA, I said, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. This is this is what I want to do. This is exactly mm-hmm. the type of work that I want to do. And I love this position because I get to support in every component and every piece of the organization, whether it's finances or program structure or fundraising. It gives me the opportunity to support in each component of the organization.
No, I think I can see that. So how does Rotary, which you're obviously very involved in, and Home Again LA, how do they align?
Oh, boy. You know, it's mm-hmm. so interesting you asked that question because I think Rotary and Home Again and LA align perfectly in their mission.
Uh-huh.
It's all about service. I think it's service above self. It's
yep.
giving to others, lifting people up, motivating people, creating a better world, identifying the needs of the community and responding to those needs. I mean, I can go on. I think the list is you know, I can list at least a good 20 things about how they're in
sure.
alignment. And I think that's why I value both in my life. You know, it's both have given me that opportunity to serve, whether it's serving a family who is experiencing homelessness, or helping an older adult with, you know, with whatever needs that they have. I think Rotary and Home Again LA are a match made in heaven, and again, I'm very blessed to be a part of both.
And I can see, I know that we talked about the fact that you're going to come to my Rotary Club and speak, but I can see where you take that passion of Rotary, because you're already speaking to an audience that understands Rotary, and then you bring the passion of Home Again LA to the club. And I can see where there's an alignment there, too, where we're going to be very interested in hearing what it is you're doing and how we as our club or that other club or whatever club that might be, how can that club support you in what you're doing? And whether it's a pancake breakfast or whether it's, you know, a 5K walk or whatever it might be, you know, a book drive, whatever. I can just see where there's such a great partnership. And what I'm wondering is, what advice would you give to someone trying to get involved in their community? How would you suggest somebody get involved?
Marcia, you kind of cut out there. I could hear every other word.
Oh, let me do this again. So can you hear me okay now?
It sounded like a robot was speaking.
Oh, that's what it was. No, what I was saying to you is that what advice would you give to someone trying to get involved in their community? How would you recommend that they get started?
I'm trying to keep up with what you're asking. It just, the phone cut off a little bit. I think the last thing I heard was, how do you recommend people get involved? But
correct.
If you can repeat that one more time, maybe.
No, that's right. You have that correct. Are you able to hear me now?
I can hear you clear now, yes.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, you know what? It is what it is, right? We deal with technology. So, yes, that my question was about your advice and how people can get involved. So what advice would you give to somebody trying to get involved in their community?
You know, I would try to find an organization in your community that is making a difference. I would either Google
mm-hmm.
service clubs, the Rotary
yep.
Club specifically, as you know. I would Google Rotary and identify if there's a club in your community that you can be a part of. Go visit the Rotary Club. Go visit them for breakfast or lunch whenever they're meeting. Ask questions. You know, don't sit back. Ask questions. Ask what are they doing to make a difference in their community. And then, you know, if you feel like that club is the right club for you, then jump in with both feet and get your hands dirty. We need more people. You know,
we do.
There's never a shortage of Rotarians. If there's not a Rotary Club in your area or, you know, within driving distance, well, then Google nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
identify, you know, find what nonprofits are in your community. It could be a shelter. It could be a food pantry. It can be the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
There's so many nonprofits in the world that are in dire need. Nonprofits struggle with finances sometimes because, you know, we're all competing for funding. We're all competing for the same funding. And so there's not a lot of funding for overhead, for staffing. And so if you're interested in volunteering and making a difference in your community, I would recommend looking for the Rotary Club or looking for a nonprofit that matches your own personal mission. If you want to help children, Google that. If you want to help older adults, Google that. If you want to help the homeless, there's definitely an organization out there that will align with your own personal mission.
I just thought of one, Meals on Wheels. There are so many organizations. That is an outstanding. There are people on Meals on Wheels are also Rotarians as well. But if you've got a desire to help and you've got the time, maybe you don't have the money. Maybe you just have the desire. Or maybe you have both. You know, there is an organization that would want you. So tell us about it. We have a little bit more time. So tell us about a community service project that you've done with the Rotary Club.
Oh boy, you know, we've it's interesting because during the pandemic, even though everybody kept saying you had to stay home and be cautious and all constantly wear masks, I think the Rotary Clubs, believe it or not, were most active during the pandemic. I think we were out there. We were delivering food, as you said, like Meals on Wheels. That was probably, at least here in Burbank, you know, Meals on Wheels we did on a weekly basis. That was probably the most meaningful project because not only are you bringing meals to older adults, but you're also providing that time. You know, how many older adults got any visitors during the pandemic?
Right. Just somebody say hello. Yes.
Exactly. And I feel like that was so powerful. I remember us doing a holiday event at a senior center during the pandemic. We actually brought turkey and we brought mashed potatoes. We delivered it to everybody at the senior center. We even went to this large apartment complex across the street where it was housing for older adults. We knocked on everybody's door, delivered dinner, but we also had Christmas carolers right behind us who were singing songs and bringing the joy of the holidays. I mean, that's something that was powerful, and I love that because it was two clubs coming together. It was the Burbank Noon Rotary Club and the Burbank Sunrise Rotary Club. And something like that was definitely needed. But, you know, what I always recommend is do an assessment of your community. Identify what are the biggest gaps, what are the biggest needs of that community, and then try to develop a program. Don't just create a program because you want to create a program. Identify the needs and make sure you're responding to those needs. And then on top of that, identify who are great partners for that project. You know, it's great that Rotary can take care of business and even Home Again LA can do stuff, but together we're stronger. It's okay to be a force of two or three entities coming together and making a difference because when we come together, you know, the impact is just so much greater. So, I mean, that was a great project that I continue to remember, and that meant a lot to me because, you know, there's so many older adults right now, Marcia, in at least the last couple of years. I see a lot of cost of living has increased so much during the pandemic. Cost of food has gone up. Cost of gas is now plateaued about $5.50, even $6 a gallon. Housing, at least here in San Fernando Valley where my office is, housing, a one-bedroom today is averaging $2,700. And when you look at that, I think of older adults who are on a fixed income, who have Social Security, that's all they depend on. And when their rent is increased and food is increasing, how are they going to survive? And it troubles me because so many of these older adults have deep roots here in these communities. Now they're having to relocate and establish themselves somewhere else. So again, I mean, I get a little excited about that because I see it every day. I see a lot of older adults calling Home Again LA asking for support. And, you know, it's difficult when housing is just so expensive these days. It's, $2,700. Imagine if you were a single parent or one older adult living on your own. I don't know how people make ends meet anymore. It's just difficult.
And they have to have some form of transportation to get a job, whether it's riding a bus or taking a train or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything costs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, food costs.
Yeah.
It all costs.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's. Do you think the pandemic changed the way Rotary operates?
I would say somewhat. You know, in the beginning, I think we all got used to virtual meetings. We all jumped on Zoom.
We
all had to figure that
mm-hmm.
out, right? We had to figure out how we can still feel connected during a pandemic where we were housebound, you know, homebound. And so we had to adapt, and we did. Not only did we all figure out how to use Zoom or Teams or any other platform, but we found ways to still create service projects with the limited supply of inventory that was available. It's definitely changed. And, you know, one thing that I'm noticing a lot more these days are e-clubs, you know, the clubs, the Rotary clubs that meet virtually now consistently.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few of those in our district that they've decided to just meet virtually every time there's a gathering. But what I love about that is that when there is a service project in person, I mean, the feeling of excitement of seeing your fellow Rotarians outside of that square box on your computer, I mean,
yes.
People get excited about that, right? So, I didn't know
that's
you were this
true.
Tall. Or
exactly.
I think that's great. So we adapted during the pandemic, and I think the Rotary clubs have done a stellar job. There are still some clubs that are operating 100% virtually, which is it's great because it still works for them and they're still involved
mm-hmm.
in Rotary regardless if they're in person or not. So I think Rotary has done a great job and is a great example of you know, of how to adapt to things, you know, when a disaster comes to fruition.
I would agree. So what motivates you? What lights your fire that says, man, I can't wait to do this. This is going to be so cool.
Oh, gosh.
Where do you pull that from?
I got to tell you, and it's going to sound so cliche, Marcia.
No.
It's two people. The first one is my mother. She
okay.
motivates me, and I want to make sure she knows that. You know, the things that she endured during her, you know, during the last 15, 20 years of having to, you know, adapt in herself, you know,
mm-hmm.
she motivates me. I want to make her proud. I guess that's what I'm trying to say is I want to make her proud. I want her to be able to say, look at the gentleman I was able to raise,
right.
given the difficult situation that she endured herself. I think that motivates me, just trying to make her proud and show her, hey, you know, she did a great job parenting us, you know, and look at Albert and the others in the family are thriving because of her. She never gave up. And so
is she
that's,
local,
that's
Albert?
Probably,
is it,
yeah,
is she,
she's local.
Is she,
she's actually, mm-hmm, she's local.
Is she not,
she's
not far from where you live? Oh, so she's still in Koreatown.
Nope, not at all. Oh, yeah, she's still there. She still
that's
lives
home.
Very local. Oh, yeah.
And what about the rest of your siblings? Are they spread out, or are they all sort of?
We're all spread out.
All over
oh
the
yeah.
Place.
Our family is originally from Texas, so I've got siblings in Odessa, Texas, Houston, Texas. I've got some family up in Bakersfield, California.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty spread out. There's probably about five of us that stayed in Los Angeles County and some part of LA County. And we you know, there was a few years ago, we actually surprised our mother and all 11 kids showed up for Thanksgiving. It was so funny to see her face. We actually recorded it, and she had no idea she was being recorded. One after another showed up knocking on the door. I think after the fifth or sixth knock, she started realizing, okay, there's something going on here. But she had no idea we were all coming. We all knocked.
Oh,
we all
man.
Brought a dish, and it was probably the most, the biggest smile I had ever seen on her face. That was pretty nice.
Oh, I bet.
See.
If I was to ask you what else motivates you, based on this conversation that we've had, and I know we haven't spoke very much about your wife, but I would guess that your daughter truly motivates you as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. Everybody always teases me. They say, how you come from a family of 11 brothers and sisters. How come you only have one child? And, you know, it's interesting. I feel like I'm just so busy. You know, I'm so busy
uh-huh.
with work and with my volunteer. And I've been blessed to have a child who likes to be involved with both. You know,
yes.
I shared with you that she volunteers with Rotary, but I mean, during the pandemic, you know, when children were at home doing their during the school hours on Zoom, she actually set up her own little desk here at my office, and she was doing Zoom classes from home again, LA, and she was able to witness some of the families coming by for food or coming for services, and so she understands it, and I just want to make her proud. I want her to know that she comes from a family of givers, and that, you know, she should be proud of being a Mexican American, and that we're here to serve the community. And I want her to grow up in a very giving family, and she motivates me each day. And
I bet.
She's always constantly asking, "What'd you do today?" And she knows no 2 days have ever been the same. They've never been the same. So she's always curious about it, my day.
Well, and she's only 11 years old. Imagine. I mean, truly,
oh, yeah.
imagine 11, where
11
she's
going
to
on
be.
18, Marcia. 11 going on 18, I'll tell you that.
I believe that. I do. So here you are. You're just this young man. And because in my mind, you're still a young man. You're not even 40 years old yet. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now based on everything that you're already doing?
I'd like to see myself still working at Home Again LA, but with a larger reach. Over the last couple of years, you know, we've really focused on serving families of just Burbank. And then a couple of years ago, we expanded to the San Fernando Valley. And then about a year and a half ago, we started supporting families all around LA County. I like to still see myself here, but replicating this model, maybe in San Diego or in San Francisco or who knows, Phoenix, and giving my staff the opportunity to lead those chapters, let's say, and bringing them up and giving them the opportunity to grow as well as individuals. So I'd like to see myself doing that. I'm all about community service and giving back. So definitely maintaining my strong relationship with Rotary, definitely. That's no question about it. I think in 5 years, I will, you know, my daughter will be about 16, 17 years of age now. You know, hopefully she would want to be a little bit more active and bring her friends to come volunteer at Home Again LA and possibly even with the high school chapter of Rotary, which is called Interact Clubs. So,
right.
You know, there's still, I guess in 5 years, I'd like to just continue providing service through these two organizations.
You know, it's interesting you mention Interact because one of our club members is the sponsor at Venice High School's Interact. And a lot of high schools have Interact Rotary clubs, and didn't you even do some Rotary when you were in high school?
I did, you know, and I should have shared that a while ago. I actually didn't know anything about Rotary until I was 16 years of age. I was invited by my local Rotary club to go to the RILA camp, which is RILA stands for Rotary Youth Leadership Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was invited to go to RILA when I was 16 years of age, and I honestly, Marcia, had no idea what Rotary was. All I knew was I was invited. I was selected by a Rotary club to go to RILA for 3 days. And believe it or not, you might judge me on this, but I was just excited to get out of the house with 11 brothers and sisters and just do my own thing for the weekend.
Well, but you know,
so
I think that makes not, but honestly, that makes a lot of sense to me to just have your independent identity for just that 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we do in our life sort of shapes where we end up, don't you think? I mean,
I believe it.
100%. I just know I would have never imagined that I'm doing what I'm doing right now, but you know, as a podcaster and all of this, but my life circumstances presented me with, you know, what are you going to do now? You're widowed and you got to, what are you going to do? Just bury your head in the sand? And so, you know, I've been able to find purpose. And that's what I hear about you, Albert. I hear a very purposeful person, that you're not just willy-nilly about, maybe I could. No, you are directed. You're centered. You have goals. You're going to have a lot of responsibility you're going to be visiting all these clubs. But you know, at the same token, your visitation to clubs allows these clubs to know more about what it is you do And as that governor, you know, there's all kinds of times where we gather together as Rotary clubs from all across our district. And for you to be able to stand up and authentically be who you are and talk about your experiences, who wouldn't fall in love with you? I mean, you know, it's just, I think I'm just so grateful that we've had this opportunity to share this hour together, because it's been so meaningful to me personally. But I would think anyone that's listening is going, they got their hand up in the air going, I'm looking for a Rotary Club. And, you know, you don't have to just, you can do as little or as much as you want. There's no like, well, and if you don't do this, you know, you got your hand on your hip. No, it's not judgmental like that. It's what you can do is what you can do. And I look forward to having you join us at our club at some point, because I feel like we have established quite a wonderful relationship, you and I, and I'm just grateful the time that you spent sharing your experiences with our listeners today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. This has been great. I've enjoyed it very, very much, Marcia, and I thank Carmela from the Culver City Rotary Club for introducing you and I.
Oh, that's right.
I think I've created a new friend here, so thank you so much.
You have, and you know what? I can't believe I didn't mention Carmela, because Carmela has lived in this community of Westchester like me forever, and it would have been such a, my hand is over my heart right now. So yes, Carmela, thank you. Thank you for this introduction, because Carmela is in the Culver City Rotary Club, I believe. Is that right?
Right. You got
I think that's her club. So, I'm so glad you mentioned Carmela's name. I want to thank you for your time. I know that it's valuable, and I hope that everybody listening will just think about what they could do to support Rotary, to support what you do, and just get involved. It gives you a whole circle of people that are doing positive things. So thank you once again for sharing your story with our listeners. It's been really meaningful.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, everybody. You have a great rest of your week. I'm going to let Albert get on with his day. Bye for now, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.